Been talking about the matter of building friendships, and one of the things that I pointed out in the matter of building friendships, and I'm going to do a bit of review, and then we're going to get into some new stuff. There's a difference between a friend and an acquaintance. Sometimes somebody that's an acquaintance can develop into a friendship, but you need to make that distinction between somebody that's just an acquaintance and somebody that's a friend. We can also point out that there are different levels of friendship or different types of friends. And therefore, you may be friends with, like if you're in school, you may be friends with somebody that's a classmate, but that's a different kind of friendship than you might have with somebody here in the church, or maybe a neighbor or somebody that lives close to you. And in the same way, you might be friends with somebody where you work, and it's a valid friendship, but it's at a different level than you would have in a friendship, again, from another kind of situation or setting. You may have a friend that's here in the church, and that might be a lower level friend than what you have in a friend that you grew up with, let's say, and who you still are in contact with. Now, that doesn't make invalid the what I'm calling lower level friendship that you have here at church. It's just recognizing that you can't treat all friends the same.
Right.
Another important thing to recognize, and that is, what are your expectations from a friend? Because if you don't have that level of friendship with an individual that can warrant what you expect from them, then you'll end up being very disappointed, very disheartened. And people have made statements such as, well, you know, I had a friend, and then I found out that they weren't as much of a friend as I thought, so I'm not going to open my heart to anybody again. Well, the problem wasn't they opened their heart. It's just they opened their heart too much for the level of friendship that they had.
Yeah, that's right.
And therefore, they set themselves up, but they didn't realize that, because in their desire to have a friend and to have a relationship with somebody, they just dumped it all out and didn't make these kind of distinctions that I'm speaking about. Another thing that I've been stressing, and that is, friendship doesn't just happen. It takes time, and friendships need to be built. And you should not try to rush building a friendship. Your desire can be way much more than the progress you've made with somebody in a friendship. And that's okay to have that much greater desire. But if you try to push it, then that other person might feel smothered. I remember, I think it was last week, that I pointed out that and sometimes there are some people that, let's just say, by their personality, they only have one friend, because they become very possessive of that friend. And if that friend does something with somebody else, then they feel that, well, you're not my friend anymore. I've had somebody say that to me. Well, I was talking with them, and they said, well, I'm not their friend anymore. I said, yeah. Just because I'm friends with this one also doesn't mean I'm not your friend. But you see, that person who was possessive and would only allow themselves to have one friend, they couldn't open up. And nor, but then you see, not only they couldn't open up, but they couldn't recognize anybody else being a friend if they weren't exclusive to that person. So these are some things just to keep in mind when it comes to the matter of your, this is a big buzzword that goes around in some circles. This is something to remember in your interpersonal relationships, okay? And that's actually a good term, but you know, it's just not the sort of thing that we always use all the time. But that's what we're talking about. And I would imagine Dale, in some of your studies, he did a test tonight, and I'm serving as his proctor, which means I sit there and make sure he doesn't cheat. And bottom line, that's what it is. But the kind of things he's learning, you've probably heard that phrase, interpersonal relationships. And that's what we're talking about here with this matter of friendships. Now, we looked on the steps on the chart that I gave you, and there are still some extras on the table if you need another one. You notice how I changed that and tried to be so considerate. If you don't have the one I gave you, if you lost the one I gave you, if you fed it to your cat or something like that, there's others. I caught myself and I changed it if you need another one, okay? I really did. I caught myself because I don't like to speak in negative ways. I mean, that somebody would hang on to this thing as if it were scripture is ridiculous. So if you need another one, they're over there. We looked at several Proverbs scriptures, and we're taking these steps now on this chart, and we're using 1 Corinthians 13 as the idea of friendship. Back when I first created this, I would have used 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. Then I came to Black Creek Baptist Church. And I learned, and I like what we learned.
Yes, sir.
And that is charity is the correct term. It's the characteristics of love, the character of love. And you know, what is charity? Well, charity is an action. I always thought of charity, you know, when I give some old clothing to Salvation Army, that's a charitable action. If they come around knocking on the door, collecting for some organization, or I get something in the mail, like I did today, I made a check out for $10,000 to...
In your dreams.
I made a small check out to St. Jude's, okay? The Children's Research Cancer Hospital. I've always been very sympathetic to what they're doing. I mean, you realize that the family and the children that go there don't pay, okay? And so probably two or three times a year, we sent them $10-$15, you know? They might be able to buy a box of straws with it, okay? But nevertheless, that was a charitable gift. But the point, it's an action. Well, that's 1 Corinthians 13. It's charity. These are actions that people take, and those actions are expressive of love that they may have towards someone or need to have towards someone. But as Pastor said, you start practicing the things that are said in 1 Corinthians 13, and you're going to find yourself loving somebody.
That's right.
Okay? Because you're doing what's needed. Let me show something else. We're in prayer meeting tonight. Now listen, if you have a problem with somebody, let's say somebody here at church. Now, I know that's only an illustration, but if you have a problem with somebody, stop thinking about it. Stop trying to make yourself feel something that you don't.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Start praying for them.
Yeah, that's good.
And don't pray, Lord, change. You just start praying good things for them. You and you just keep praying. I said, I don't feel like praying. Where's the Bible tell us we have to feel like praying?
Come on. I like it, bro.
You just pray for them.
Yes, sir.
And you keep praying good things. And when bad thoughts come into your mind while you're praying, and I know I'm probably the only one that has that happen, but if bad thoughts come into your mind while you're praying, then just say, Lord, you know these thoughts I have. I don't want to have them. Help me with them. And that doesn't mean that, boom, just like that, as soon as you say it, the old bad thought's gone. That's great if it happens that way. But most of the time, God's going to do something And he's going to work something that's going to help take those bad thoughts away.
Amen.
But the thing, you see, we live in such a misconception of what spirituality is. And we have so many ideas of how things ought to be and what we ought to be. And, you know, sometimes reality and where we are just are so far apart. And we are, in those cases, our own worst enemy. Because there again, you use a word I used earlier, our expectations are out of line with what is. And I always like to say, listen, you may as well tell God what you're thinking, how you're feeling. He already knows. And that very act of telling him is an act of confession. Because you are acknowledging to him that what you are thinking and feeling is wrong, and you are asking him to help you to act and think like he does. And that's all pleasing to God.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, that's where growth is going to come from. And so, now let's see, where are we here? The first step is effort, the second step is faithfulness, the next step is kindness. Then we got to the step of understanding, verse 7, and that's where we were going to begin tonight. And how the old clock on the wall says, says it's time to end, preacher, ain't? Oh, Lord. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7, regarding this matter of understanding, charity beareth all things. Okay? Charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. We need to be understanding. Can you overlook, and we need to overlook somebody that we are in a friendship with. We need to overlook their faults and their shortcomings. Now, make a distinction between somebody's faults and shortcomings and their actions of sin. Because shortcomings and faults are not synonymous with sin.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Okay. And you say, well, what's the difference? Well, sin is identified in the Bible as a transgression of God's law. And so there's things with the person that you're a friend that you just need to overlook them. That's just how they are. Now, that doesn't mean that you ignore or overlook sin. We're not supposed to ignore or overlook sin. But it also does mean if you're a friend, you're not going to ream them out, chew them up one side and down the other because of something they've done. Because you're a friend and maybe you were the recipient of it. Maybe you just know that the person has done this. If you're a friend, the level of friend, the degree of friendship, you see, not everybody that you're friends with should you go and talk to. Okay, if you're in a one or two level friendship, you just pray for them. Mind your own business.
Amen.
But if you're at a 9 or a 10 level with somebody and you know of a sin in their life, you need to go and talk to them. You say, well, what about number 8 through 3? I don't know. I don't know. You work that now. Okay? But if you have a level of friendship that you need to go and talk to them, then you approach it kindly, gently, supportively. You're approaching. And then if they don't agree with you and they don't have the reaction you think they should have had, well, I tried to help them, but they didn't want any help. No. A friend is born for adversity. A friend loveth at all times. So you don't just, you know, write them off. You're still their friend. Now, I'm going to wrap it up with this. If you'll turn to Proverbs chapter 10, I want to show you what appears to be a contradiction in scriptures. Chapter 10, And then I want you to find chapter 28. Get your finger in 10, and then go find 28 and get your finger in that. You've got 10 fingers, so we can find 10 verses. Somebody ought to catch that humor a little bit there. Chapter 10 and chapter 28. All right, here we go. Chapter 10, verse 12. I'm just going to read these verses, and I'll explain them. Proverbs 10, verse 12. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Love covereth all sins. Now, look at chapter 28 and verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Well now, wow, back in 10:12 it says love covereth all sins, but then 28:13 says he that covers his sin will not prosper. Now which way is it? Do you cover it or don't you cover it? These two verses alone will not reveal what I'm about to explain. You have to look at other scriptures that teach on the matter of sin and individuals and the handling of it. But Proverbs 10:12 is toward others, okay? Toward others, love covers sin. So you don't go telling anybody and everybody you know, even if they're not an 8, 9, or 10 level friend. They're a minimal friend. They might even just be an acquaintance. You found out something they did, you don't go running your mouth to anybody and everybody about it. You just cover it. Let love cover it. And you pray for them. And so, 10:12 is toward others. Love covers sin toward others. Now, 28:13, he that covereth his sins. See the word his? He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. In other words, if you won't ignore your sin and you won't admit it and you won't confess it and you won't get in line with God on it, you're not going to prosper. I mean, God, he tells us very clearly, whoso confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And there inferred is if you try to cover your own sin and won't deal with it the way God wants us to, you're not going to have his mercy. You're going to have his judgment. And so we're talking about friendships. So you see, with a friend, they're understanding, and they don't write a person off. Love's going to cover their sin because you love them. You're going to keep praying. You keep touch with them, like you talk to somebody the first time. They don't react the way you think they should, or even if they do react the way you think they should, and you say, "Well, look, I'm going to be praying for you." And maybe in a couple of weeks we could talk again. See, what you're doing is you're leaving the door open. You're preparing them to approach them. Because once you've talked to them, if you don't make a statement to the effect, would it be okay if I talked with you again a couple of weeks? Or you simply, depending on the situation, you don't want to ask them because they might say no. You just want to say, look, well, maybe in a couple of weeks, we could talk again. And if they don't shut you down, okay, if they shut you down, then you can. But if they don't shut you down, then in a couple of weeks you could say, hey, Fred, how are things going? We talked a couple of weeks ago, that situation, and I've been praying for you about it. I just wondered about it. And then see if they want to talk some more. Okay? And in other words, gentle, kind, tactful. This is so important. You say, well, I'm not a tactful person. Well, learn it. If you want to have the kind of friendships and kind of interaction with people that you admire in others, then you just have to put forth some effort to be tactful, to be gentle, to be kind. And I understand. Boy, as a pastor, do I understand. There are times where I made every effort to be gentle, and my gentleness was perceived like a bull in a china shop.
Yeah.
You know? Now, I know I didn't go in there blasting away. But, you see, they were on the other side of the fence with the issue. And therefore, you know, even if I had crawled to them, they have perceived me as a snake slithering to get them. And so, you know, you can't control everything, but you can control yourself. And therefore, you need to make that attempt. All right, we're going to close it down with that. And we're going to go to prayer. You heard Pastor say he's going to be driving to Buffalo. So we need to remember that in prayer, as well as for Dr. Ken Stallings and his brother.